Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our ungeeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And Frank, what are you drinking today?
Well, today's ungeeky beer, I think kind of continuing on a theme, we've had this before, is the Brew Free or Die IPA from 21st Amendment Brewery in San Francisco.
It is very good.
It's a hoppy, delicious treat.
It is.
But of which I'm a fan.
We're still not, we're still working through it, though. So
yep.
It's good. We have a couple things that really bond us as friends, but superheroes is really something that we both can talk about and gab about forever and ever and ever and ever.
Oh, yes.
And so so for this first episode of theme episodes, a season of episodes, if you will, what we're going to talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
But not just the Marvel Cinematic Universe containing Marvel Studios, but all movies starting from our youth that were produced by Marvel,
right,
moving up and outward. All the good ones, all the bad ones, Sony, Fox, WB, Legendary.
Did Legendary do?
No, I'm just making stuff. WB didn't either.
Nodding along. Yeah. For some reason, Legendary was like, wait, what?
I like that Legendary was the one that kicked you off.
Yeah, I know, not DC.
No, not at all.
Not
all right.
WB. All right.
So, all right. So,
all right, so Roger Corman's Fantastic Four, right? That's where we're starting?
That's where we're starting. Okay, cool. Have you actually seen it?
No, I've seen pieces.
I have seen it.
I've seen like a sizzle reel on YouTube. But never, I don't know if I have the patience to sit through it.
I
love Roger Corman films.
I have. It's there.
It's there.
I mean, we're ready for it.
I mean, is it like Star Wars Holiday Special bad, or is it like...
No.
You had to think about that.
No, I had to think about that. Star Wars Holiday Special Bad had intentions.
yes.
Roger Corman's Fantastic Four had... All right, well, if you're not aware what this was supposed to be released in 94. It was a movie that went into production in 94. It was a Fantastic Four film that... by Roger Corman that never saw the light of day and still hasn't, except for bootleg copies,
right,
at conventions or online or anything, yep, like that. So, with the introduction of the internet, it's been much easier to pin this stuff down.
Right.
Before it was seriously hard to find. I did find it a couple of years ago, a long time ago, actually, in this galaxy. And, it's bad. Really bad. Like Mr. Fantastic Four stretching, you can tell it's like arms like with plywood.
Oh,
like it's really bad. Dr. Doom swirls his cape everywhere he walks.
Yes, yes, I like, noticed that.
He's like, I have a cape.
Look at me.
I rule Latveria. Yeah. And so it's bad. The film that I actually saw before Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the Matt Salinger Captain America from 1990?
I have not. You've mentioned it before.
I love this movie so much. It's actually not that bad of a movie, nor is it really that bad of a Captain America movie. It actually hits a lot of good notes. It's just poor production value with some odd choices.
Okay.
Whereas Marvel's Studios took Captain America and set it all in the 40s, and they spent a lot of time,
right,
fleshing Steve Rogers out that way. This movie froze Steve quickly and then unfroze him like in a matter of like the first 40 minutes of the film.
Oh, wow. Maybe.
Yeah, it was interesting. They made the Red Skull a notorious Nazi Italian For some reason, I'm just lecturing my English. Yeah, it's very and okay. with a weird accent. And then he's only got a red face in one scene. So when Steve wakes up in modern day, he's had like plastic surgery. So he looks kind of grizzled, and he's this mob boss responsible for JFK's assassination. Yeah, there was some good stuff in it. Matt Salinger was a good Captain America. The costume is straight out of the book, like with the little wings and the side. Yep. And,
Ned Beatty.
Yeah. I know.
Are we going to Latveria,
Mr. Luthor? Are we going to Antarctica to fight Captain America, Mr. Luthor? Like, he plays the president's childhood friend. Like, basically, the president was living in D.C. like as a kid. He always like there on vacation with his family, whatever. And the rocket that Cap is attached to, sent by the Red Skull during World War II, is like basically flying at the White House, and Cap saves it in the last second, and the kid is like takes a snap of Cap's head right before with a camera right before it crashes, and it doesn't, and all this stuff. I won't say too much on it. We will watch it one day, okay, so you I can think we see should. It. I quite enjoy it. It came out on Blu-ray not too long ago, and I was all over it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
it's hardly ever mentioned. It's not something you hear a lot about these days.
No.
It's buried
in forgotten realm, but I don't think it's certainly not as bad as Corman's Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Well, that one was never.
Or Howard the Duck.
Oh, yeah.
Or even the Punisher movie with, what's his name, Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So moving on. The movie that really kicked off Marvel, well, superhero, I argue superhero films in the modern day, because, well, Batman and Robin stopped them.
Yes.
Stopped them hard in their tracks.
Oh, hard,
like,
yeah.
Super, super hard.
Yeah.
And so hard as those bat nipples. And
oh, all right.
2 years later, we get Blade by New Line Cinema.
I agree that. I think that's kind of where it begins.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you have to trace the roots back a little bit. It might not be so clear. Like, if you ask the average person, like, what started this whole, like, superhero revival, they're probably not going to say Blade, but if you really trace it back and look at it, it's Blade.
Proved that you could take a character that nobody knew about and make a good franchise out of it, because Blade was really successful for a hard R movie.
Yes.
Still one of the best opening scenes of an introduction of a character ever, where all the vampires are in the nightclub and they're partying, and you don't know that they're partying, or I mean, you don't know they're partying. You don't know that they're vampires.
What are these people doing? I don't understand.
Where are they dancing to music like that? What are they doing?
I know they're vampires just sucking blood, but I don't know what they're doing. That doesn't make sense.
And so, but then, like, you know, they start having this like blood gore fest, and they're going to feed off this guy, and Blade shows up, and they all part, and then he takes them all. Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it. But then in 2000 was X-Men by Fox, and people say that one. A lot of people say that Spider-Man was the one that kicked them off.
For me, it did. So, like, it's the first of these that I remember seeing. I saw Spider-Man before I saw X-Men, or Blade. But yeah, so for me, it was, and I think a lot of people that was the one that was like the big breakout hit. You know, more than the previous two had been.
I agree.
And it was the one that was more highly anticipated because Spider-Man is Spider-Man. And we got Sam Raimi behind something like that. It's just, you know, it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. I saw it like five times when I was a kid.
I never saw it in theaters, but I got the DVD.
Oh, you never saw it in theaters?
Like, as soon as it came out. I've seen that movie so many times.
I saw X-Men and Spider-Man in theaters. X-Men, I remember going to the, because it came out in the summer, and I remember going to the 12 o'clock showing, not midnight, like 12 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Showing, and thanking my brother and I, thinking, like, oh my God, there are going to be so many people there. And it was like 12 people there waiting for the doors to open, still cool. What was I going to say? Actually, when X-Men came out, I got a subscription to the X-Men title from Marvel, like when they still did mail in, stuff like that. But it was just when something was ending, and it was like, it was when a story arc was ending right before Grant Morrison kicked in with New X-Men.
Okay.
And was that what it's called? New X-Men? I had to look that up. New X-Men is Grant Morrison. Yay. New X-Men. It was him and Frank Quietly.
Yeah.
And so, but of course, between Marvel's between Marvel's horrible shipping process for comics in the mail, plus Grant Morrison, Frank Quietly with their like irregular schedule. Yeah. Eventually, I was like, I got like 5 issues in a year. Like, oh, what is this? And so, but let's talk about Spider-Man. I have a very distinct memory when I saw the first Spider-Man. Spoilers for all these things, but
2002 spoilers. Yeah,
2002 spoilers. So almost 12 years ago. There was the scene in which Spider-Man is beating up, and by that I mean by the Green Goblin is beating up Spider-Man.
Yes.
And that thing off of the bridge in New York, you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Every time I drive by it, I'm like, there it is. That's where the Green Goblin dies. Yeah. And then doesn't.
We are who we choose to be. Now choose.
No good.
I don't know why I made him sound like Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah. Now choose. it worked for him. So,
yeah.
But anyway, when he's getting the crap beat out of him, yes, and he's just like on the floor, he's bleeding, his mask's all torn up, all yep, this stuff. A little kid right in front of him, maybe 5 years old, goes, "Do something, Spider-Man."
Aww.
It was awesome. It was great. I love it. So
that's
good.
Adorable.
It is adorable. I like
great.
I do like that movie a lot. I'm not a big Tobey Maguire fan,
okay,
of Spider-Man. I like Andrew Garfield more.
Sure.
I didn't find Tobey Maguire sassy as Spider-Man, and that's my favorite part of the character,
yeah,
is that he's super sassy in the costume.
Right. He's, yeah, it's a different take on Peter Parker.
It is.
Sure.
He's
quippy, yeah, in the mask. Not like Andrew Garfield is, but he
no,
still quips in the mask. But it's not like Ultimate Spider-Man. It's not like Andrew Garfield.
No, it's not. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. He also has a weird crying face, which if you gotta look at a gif of like Tobey Maguire crying and it'll come up, but it's like face crunches up and he's like,
well, you know, it's because he's eating sour warheads.
Oh, is right? That really, yeah, what he's doing? No, it made sense. Oh, because that's what it looks like.
I remember in the director's commentary, Sam Raimi says, this is how much I've watched this movie. I remember things from the commentary. I watched that so many times. He says, like, jokingly, he's like, oh yeah, we shot this scene. It was like one of the times that Peter's crying because Uncle Ben's dead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we shot this scene right before I told Toby that his name wasn't going to appear above the title.
Oh, do not like that crying face. I think Tobey Maguire's a good actor. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not a fan. I liked some parts of his Peter very much, and I still hold that Spider-Man 2 is one of the best superhero films,
yes,
to this date. It's got everything going for it, all of it. And so whatever. Okay, so in 2002 with Spider-Man was also Blade 2.
Yes.
Which I don't remember if I saw in theaters or not, but that's also a very good movie. They kind of put David Goyer on the superhero map a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit. He wrote the first one too, but Blade 2 really upped its game. It's very, very good.
Yep.
Guillermo del Toro directed, which is always a great time. I love the Guillermo.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Guillermo.
And how.
And how. Okay, so Spider-Man, you have anything else to say on it?
It was not the first superhero movie I ever saw, but one that like really impacted me, and because it was the first like modern superhero film I'd mm-hmm. seen, right?
Yeah.
So I was really excited about it, and I still think in a way that like, you know, Blade and X-Men and Spider-Man are really why we have what we have today.
Absolutely.
So
they're exactly why we have what we have. All those early movies got the kinks out. They figured
yeah.
out what works and
yeah.
what doesn't,
yep.
and what audience are hungry for and what they're not,
yes.
and all of those things. Like, for instance, Power Ranger, Green Goblin, they still haven't learned that's not
right.
what we want.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Still. I think Kevin Smith says that scene where Green Goblin and Spider-Man are on the roof and Spider-Man's paralyzed, they're just like two action figures because they're not moving.
Basically, yeah.
Like, yeah. You and I are not so different. Wow.
Willem Dafoe?
No, I wasn't. I do like Willem Dafoe a lot. I do like Willem Dafoe a lot, but I'm going to J.K. Simmons. There it is.
Oh,
I lost
oh,
it.
Oh, man.
His he's my favorite part of those movies. Yeah, it's not Spider-Man. Yes. It's not anything. It's him.
And it's like he walked straight off the page. Like they
straight off the page.
I wish they could bring him back.
They talked about it. He voices Jay Jonah Jameson in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, which is not, the same, yeah. but still.
Right. Yeah. No, but I really would love to see him come back and replay that role because like it was all like hair pieces and prosthetics anyway. Like,
yeah.
He could still play it, you know, 15 years later. No problem.
No problem. He doesn't really age that much.
No,
either.
He hasn't either. No. But like, oh man, was he great. And
you don't trust anybody, do you? I trust my barber.
Yeah. Oh, he was fantastic. Yeah. It was really like the character came to life right off the page. And I would say the same for Elizabeth Banks's portrayal.
Yeah.
Of Betty Brant. Like she looked exactly
like.
And this is before she was a big name in her own right.
Yes, right.
So I didn't know who she was.
She almost didn't come back for Spider-Man 3 because she was a bigger name by then.
Right.
But they were like, come on, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're Betty Brant. Yeah, just finish the trilogy. Everybody else came back.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Even Mary Jane came back.
Right.
All right. So, those are great. Let's talk about Daredevil.
Do we have to?
All right. I like parts of this movie very much.
I like parts of this movie very much.
Here's what I like about it. I like Jon Favreau as Foggy Nelson. I like the banter that he has with. I like Ben Affleck. Okay. I like Ben Affleck as an actor. I like him as a director. I don't think that the script was great, or nor the direction was great.
That's it.
That cast was filled with great actors, or at least moderately good actors, and they just weren't given a lot to work with. They tried to smush too much of all these things together, and it just like what could have been two films became one mediocre film.
Can I say three words that redeem this movie possibly?
Yeah.
Michael Clarke Duncan.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God.
I agree.
Yes.
He was great. Oh. Yeah. I love Michael Clarke. I love Michael Clarke Duncan. Miss him. Which we've actually talked about not too long ago.
It's true. Even. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend who hates the fact that he has a zipper, that Daredevil has a zipper. Like it's right in the front of his costume.
Yes,
like you can see it. It's a jacket.
It is a
jacket, which I never minded. I kind of like the costume. I think it makes sense. This is one of the things about the movie. Bullseye's costume bothers me tremendously.
God.
Like I just, it's weird. It's just not that. I mean, his regular costume is like,
yeah, but
like of the top 10 out there, but It's an odd choice to go with. I don't like it. I'm looking forward to the Netflix show. I'm glad
me too.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's in the black unitard, like just like I hoped for. and so I'm sure he's going to get the red one.
I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he will. I think it's a nod, and I think it's like
it's the Frank Miller ninja outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. And so I guess the clip that they showed at Comic-Con that somebody asked him about the costume and he says it's a work in progress.
Okay.
So rumor is that he's actually moving from black to yellow to red. Like they're going to do the whole transition.
Okay.
Which would be kind of cool.
That'd be neat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be amazed. So, I mean, there's so many that came out. X2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that movie a lot. I like Bryan Singer. His movies are kind of plodding.
That's the thing. Exactly. You nailed it. His movies are kind of plodding, and I feel like when he does a series, it can kind of... It doesn't end at the same level of quality as it began.
I disagree.
It doesn't,
Days of Future Past is a great movie.
Have not seen yet.
What are we even talking here?
Okay.
I
haven't seen that one yet. I've seen everything else we've talked about so far.
That's not true. You haven't seen Roger Corman's Fantastic Four.
Fine.
Or the Captain America.
Whatever. Everything in the modern era. I think that there's a definite dip in quality in the middle, and then I haven't seen Days of Future Past, so maybe
well, he didn't direct Last Stand.
That's true.
Brett Ratner.
You're right.
Because Bryan Singer hopped ship for...
Superman Returns.
For Super Stalker and Super Stalker Returns.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. And so that's a whole other thing. That is a beautifully shot movie. And it really is.
It has that going.
No,
actually,
for it.
I really enjoy Superman Returns.
I really like a lot of key components of it. Just as a whole, it doesn't
work. I have some very, very giant problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I'm just like, it's Superman.
It's still better than Superman 3 or 4. Yay.
What was it? I thought that was Superman 3. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's Superman 1 and 2. It was Superman 3.
And then it's Superman Returns.
That's the part right. That doesn't
because
make sense.
Because they never made a 3 or 4. Remember, Tim? Yeah, remember?
No, I don't remember. That's the point. There is no 3 or 4.
Definitely never made anything with Nicolas Cage either.
Oh, I want to watch that documentary. I never do. So I know. All right. So, do you ever see Ang Lee's Hulk?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that movie.
No, neither do I.
No, I was like trying to be nice for a second because I like Ang Lee.
Yeah, I mean not to get overly negative. And then if we don't like it, we won't like beat up on it. But
I think it's actually a good movie. I don't think it's a great Hulk movie.
Yeah,
it's not a good Hulk movie. And I give them credit for the way that the comic panels on screen like flash back and forth. Cool. It's just for an eye, mm-hmm. it's very confusing. Yeah. But they stuck to it.
Yeah,
I'll give them that. I'll give him that. Okay. So, I'm kind of looking at a list chronologically, so we might as well just move chronologically.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So, 2004, The Punisher, Spider-Man 2, and Blade Trinity. Wow. Blade Trinity was 2004.
Yeah, man.
Wow. That's so long ago. That's 10 years ago. Ryan Reynolds hasn't aged a day.
It's true.
Like a day.
It's true.
That's nuts. Maybe he is a vampire. Well, let's do Blade Trinity first. Okay, so Spider-Man 2.
if we can't say anything nice, we won't say anything at all. Spider-Man 2.
There are parts of Blade Trinity that are good. Chris Christopherson is always a good time.
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, is always a good time. But anyway, Spider-Man 2, we kind of touched upon. What is a great, great film. Really well done. All across the board. The only
Fantastic movie.
The only part of all the Spider-Man films that I dislike very much is that he has to remove his mask at the end fight scene every time. And I understand like the audience resonates with this and blah, blah, blah. But we have proven through the years that that's not true.
It doesn't need to happen.
It doesn't need to happen. The audience connects with that character with and without the mask.
Yeah. I think it's probably studio notes for a lot of it where it's I can't see his face. I don't know what he's thinking. I'm wearing a suit right now and I don't get what Spider-Man is.
Yeah. Does he have the abilities of an ant?
Yeah. Guys, I don't get this Spider-Ant movie. It doesn't make sense to me. I think we should see his face.
Yeah, we should see his face. And he should wear a cape. Spider-Man should wear a cape.
Always capes.
Spiders have capes,
always
right?
Capes.
Yeah. Oh, capes.
Okay, so here anyway. I have a problem with the way Sony treats this property, and I think it gets worse as time moves on. I think it was Spider-Man 1 and 2. They did fantastic, fantastic work. And then from Spider-Man 3
studio
onward.
Notes. I blame Avi Arad. We have this great movie with Vulture and New Goblin and this stuff and Sandman. It'll be good. Oh, but we need Venom because a bunch of people like Venom. So we should have Venom in the movie. Sam Raimi says, I don't really like that character. I don't know what to do with him. Avi Arad says, well, you should put him in the movie anyway.
Right.
And that's what we
got. It's the studio. It's
you could feel it. It's shoehorned in. You can feel it in the script.
Definitely.
But before we move out of 2004, do you ever see The Punisher?
Yes.
Do you like that movie? Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
I really liked Thomas Jane as the Punisher. I think it has its corny moments, for sure. Yeah, I did enjoy it when it came out. Actually, there's a great short film called, I think it's called Laundry Day.
Laundry Day. See you there.
Under things. Tumbling. All right, we'll talk about that. Actually, when I typed in Laundry Day into Google, that's the first thing that came up. It says Laundry Day, Dr. Horrible. Amazing. Second day, Laundry Day, Punisher.
Nice.
Yeah, it's, do you ever see it?
Yeah.
It's okay. You have seen Laundry Day.
Yeah.
It's
a short film. No, I've seen Laundry Day. Sorry.
I know you've seen Dr. Horrible. We just sang
the Punisher I've seen.
Oh, I know. No. Laundry Day is a short film in which you see like grizzled Thomas Jane starting to do laundry and people are like, beating somebody up in the street and killing them. So he like basically goes and takes them all out. But then it's revealed at the end that it's Frank Castle. It's the Punisher. So it's like a 10-minute Punisher film is set in the same little... It's good. It's really good. It's like one of those like, we'd like to see him play this part again because he was the best thing about that movie. All right, so let's move on. 2005, we're not going to have a lot to say because Elektra and Man-Thing are the two headliners, plus the Fantastic Four. Yay! Hey,
Man-Thing I have not seen. I have nothing to say about it. Elektra, I can take it or leave it, but a thing that frustrates me, her performance, the way she was written, actually not performance, the way she was written.
It's not very Elektra at all.
It's not very Elektra, and it's also nothing like she was in Daredevil.
It's true.
It's a completely different character.
It's true.
And I don't fault Jennifer Garner with that. I fault the writing. They just like went back to the drawing board, but kept her.
Yep, I agree.
And it's like a completely different character.
The one thing I will give Elektra credit for is you get Stick in the hand, and you get a lot of actual comic booky things, but they just didn't really know how to handle them. Speaking of not knowing how to handle things, let's talk Fantastic Four.
Okay. So Fantastic Four. So I wanted to like Fantastic Four so much. And so much so that I, you know, talked myself into seeing Rise of the Silver Surfer as well.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about Fantastic Four back to back, because one was 2005, one was 2007. Again, I'm going to play It's the Script Game, because there are parts of both those movies that I really enjoy. I really enjoy Chris Evans as the Human Torch. Like, I think he does a nice Johnny Storm.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I think Michael Chiklis did a great thing.
Michael Chiklis is my favorite thing about those movies.
Yeah, it was a great Ben Grimm.
He was funny, he was charming, he was great.
He was everything. I mean, the biggest complaint people had is like he wasn't big enough. That didn't strike
that
me.
That doesn't bother
me. It actually didn't strike me in the film that he wasn't big enough. Like, I thought he worked with the aesthetic that the film had laid out.
Yep.
That was fine. Ian Grufford or Gruffold, the guy, he's on Forever now on ABC. Or was or is. I can't remember if it got canceled or not. I'm not sure.
Is, was, and will be
is,
forever.
Nice job.
Yeah.
I thought he did a nice job.
Yeah.
Jessica Alba was stunt casting.
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually one of the biggest problems that I have with both of those movies. But yes, no, she was definitely stunt casting.
Actually, she's not my biggest proponent of those movies. Actually, I think that Julian McMahone as Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
I did not. That was the thing that did it in. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
He can be menacing.
Yep.
And they kind of took everything that was cool about that character and took it away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's an evil dictator of his own Eastern European country. His face is scarred. He's got this cool outfit. He's got diplomatic immunity. He's like all these, he's one of the greatest sorcerers in the world. Plus, a doctor who didn't finish school. A lot of doctors without those degrees. You know?
Undergrad doom doesn't sound the same.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Like associate's degree doom.
GED doom.
I am GED doom. I am actually a plumber. So they just kind of took all the cool parts away from that character. But I thought they tried to redeem a lot of themselves in Rise of the Silver Surfer with that, where he went back to He went back to Latveria.
Yeah.
His face was scarred. He was in the castle. It was. I mean, Silver Surfer fixed it with his magic cosmic stuff.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah. Okay. Rise of the Silver Surfer. He looked really cool. I don't think that his voice matched his body.
It didn't at all.
Lawrence Fishburne's voice doesn't match that body.
No. It was too epic for that body.
It was.
And it was also, I think that movie suffered from, it was promoted completely differently than the movie actually played out.
I agree.
They picked the most random assortment of scenes from that film and strung them together in the weirdest order and then put out these promos, and like it was consistent. All the messaging was like, it's going to be this kind of movie. And then you see it and it was a completely different movie.
Yeah, that's pretty typical with a lot of this.
Well, yeah, with the Fox and Sony. More so with the Fox stuff. It's true.
But Doug Jones was the motion capture for he's also Abe Sapien and Hellboy.
Oh, nice.
And Pan and Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
He's a great underrated, you never know it's him kind of actor.
Yeah.
His voice, when you hear it, just him talking, it would have been fine.
Really?
It would have been perfect. He would have done a great job. But
stunt casting.
It's that stunt casting
and like,
thing.
Listen, nothing. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne is amazing.
I like Lawrence Fishburne a lot. Yeah, I like him a lot. I've got nothing against him. But it's just his voice didn't match. But I thought like the redo with Doom's costume and them combining the things and whatever else. I thought
Silver
Surfer tried to do tried to fix a lot, but then it all plummeted with Cloud Galactus.
Yep.
Which sometimes aesthetically looked cool, but it just doesn't hold the same. It's odd when he's when Silver Surfer's talking to a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's just odd. Like there was something missing there. But enough on that. We're running out of time, and so we didn't even touch the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with their own studio, which is 2008 moving forward. So I'm just gonna I'm gonna rattle off. And then yeah, let's just actually that's better. So let's at we stopped at 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But two things three movies we skipped.
Okay.
We skipped Last Stand, Ghost Rider, and Spider-Man 3. So X-Men Last Stand, give me your thoughts.
Brett Ratner.
Agreed. I've seen Brett Ratner do good films. Mm-hmm. I actually have seen it.
Yep.
But it's like Spider-Man 3. It felt like it's all these different too many
X-Men
stories.
X-Men 3, Jumping the Shark.
Yeah, just all these stories mushed together. But there are some great moments in that.
Yeah.
There are some really good moments in the movie.
There are. And I have to say,
Kelsey Grammer's Beast wins that movie.
Kelsey Grammer wins everything he's in. So, yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
But Simon Kinberg co-wrote this film.
Mm.
Simon Kinberg now works on, or recently worked on Star Wars The Clone Wars, and now works on Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
I think he's actually really great.
Simon Kinberg's very good. It's producer meddling. You can feel it.
Agreed. It's like, what else can we throw in here?
Right.
To flesh it out.
Well, the thing was, it was supposed to be Bryan Singer, and it was supposed to be the Hellfire Club with the Phoenix Saga.
Right.
And then he jumped ship for Superman, and Brett Ratner came in and said, this is great, but let's also add in this thing about the Cure.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
It was way too much.
It's too much. But it really does have some very good moments in it.
Epic cast, though, I must say.
Yeah.
Epic cast.
I'm not leaving here without Gene.
Yes, you are.
Like, it's got some really good moments in it. Yeah.
But yeah.
And some good cat. Spider-Man 3. That was all for her. Again, it's got some good cast. My biggest thing in that movie is Venom. It's nothing else in the film.
It was the shoehorning aspect of Venom. They could do a Venom movie well, but they just didn't.
They took like the part, like he knows his identity, and he like Peter goes home and he's like having tea with Aunt May. He's like, "Hey, bud, how you doing?" That's good villainry right there.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Right. But you get none of that
right
in this. You have him going into a church, praying to God to kill Peter Parker.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, what are you doing? Like,
and the whole thing with the bells and I
and the dance numbers and
the dance number, all emo that Peter, stuff. Everything bad, mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah,
bad. But I was really looking forward to that movie because Spider-Man 2 was so great.
Yeah,
and I think it can only get better. And
there are moments of it again that are really good because Sam Raimi's a good director, but it's a shoehorn producer movie.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, let's talk about Nick Cage's Ghost Rider.
I don't remember that movie. Okay, bye, everybody.
Yeah, we're good.
Bye.
There are moments, again, but no. And because it's directed by the same guy who directed Daredevil, Mark Steven Johnson. What? So, Frank, anyway, tell us where we can find us.
On the internet, beerwithgeeks.com. At Beer with Geeks on Twitter, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com, facebook.com/beerwithgeeks. We're just kind of everywhere, so you can't really get away from us. We would really appreciate it, though, if you leave us an iTunes review, as many of you have done, and much appreciated. iTunes reviews are great for getting the show out there, so please continue to do that. Mm-hmm. Stitcher Radio as well. You can also find us there. Tell your friends to check us out. So,
Freeze Ray. Tell your friends.
we need to do an episode about
that. Yeah, we really do. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Timothy.
And thank you. I don't want to... Frank. I was gonna say Francis and Franklin at the same time, so I settled for Franklin. And anyway, so till next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.